There's something about children. Jesus said if we're going to receive the kingdom of God, we need to be like children, and something about our children that really minister to us, isn't it? Yeah. They are, as we used to have a plaque in our bathroom, they're God's vote that life is going to go on. Praise the Lord. Well, we're really glad to have all the families and the friends here today, and as we talk about this Christmas story, we've actually had a three-part series about the three main offices of Christ or Jesus when he came into the world. We celebrate and magnify the point where Christ came into the world, which was a great confident for you and myself. If you're looking for direction in your life, you know, who can you trust? Can't even trust yourself, really, because you change from day to day. But you can trust what God has written. And God wrote in the prophetic word from the very beginning. In fact, if you understand the Bible, in chapter 3, immediately when man falls, immediately God begins to prophesy about Christ. The whole Bible is filled with Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. And so we have actually in the last 3 weeks been studying the three main points of Christ, which is he is the prophet that Christ said would come, or that God said would come, and that when this prophet would come, he would tell us words that we must listen to, and if we don't, we would be cut off for eternity. So are you listening to Jesus? Are you studying his word? Are you taking this time in your life to hear what the prophet, the Messiah, has been saying to you? Because God in heaven is reaching to the earth and saying, Earth, I provided salvation for you. I provided eternal life for you and forgiveness of your sins, but you must receive it. Christmas, one of the traditions that we have, I'm not really sure if it's a tradition of the birth of Christ, is giving and receiving gifts. But the big thing that you need to ask yourself is, have you received Christ into your life? Not into your thinking. He's a part of what you identify, but into your life, that's where it changes you and become supernatural. What we studied last week was that Christ is the King of all kings, and that he's not like any other king or any great person that ever existed throughout our history. He is a king that is eternal, and his kingdom is eternal. He's never going to die. He never did die. He died physically for our sins. He died our death. But he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and there's a kingdom that he's setting up. Maybe you didn't recognize the enthusiasm. Maybe you didn't recognize some people around you as they were responding and they were getting all involved with this invisible thing. Maybe that's foreign to you. But for us that have been born again, that have at some point in our life, we've hit a speed bump and God by his grace had mercy on us and we understood that we needed Christ in our life. And I know myself, I was religious for 18 years of my life, all about religion, and I didn't realize that Christ came to take it beyond that. That religion, all that was a fragrance or a sign or a pointing to a real relationship. And I didn't realize it would happen that when I prayed that prayer and asked with my own lips for Jesus to come into my life and forgive me of sins, something happened inside my spirit. You are, whether you like it or not, body, soul, and spirit. And the Bible tells us that if you are not born again, your spirit is dead to God. That could be the reason that you're not interested in the things of the spirit, because your spirit has not been woken up, not been raised from the dead. That's what this Christ child has come to give. Now, I promise, unless God breaks this, I'm not going to preach real long. So if you hang in there, we got cookies, we got fellowship. This is cool. This is cool. You know, God didn't create the American Legion. He created the church, and the church is the ark or the boat that we hear about in the Old Testament, the saving gathering of people unto the salvation of God. We come together on Sundays as Christians, and every day, really, as we come together, we come unto him. The Bible prophesies about Jesus that unto him shall the gathering of the people be. How many are here today because of Jesus? Awesome. Amen. That's great. That's a great reason to come to church. I won't ask you if you came because there was good preaching, but I hope that you hear that too. Hallelujah. So, Father, I just thank you for every family today. every man and every woman, every child. And Lord, right now, we commit every problem, every situation, good and bad, Lord. We commit them to you. We give them to you, Father, because you can work them out. And I ask, Lord, right now, you would release power into every family situation, every heart, every child, every destiny, and grab a hold of us today, Lord, and bring us into you. And everybody said,
amen.
The book of Hebrews is an awesome book. You wouldn't necessarily think about reading that book at Christmas time, but I want to talk to you this morning about the office of our pastor, because that's something that you might understand, but he's much more than our pastor. He's our shepherd. He's our brother, which means he's totally linked with us. He understands our life. He's our God. He's our Savior. In fact, it goes on and on. But what we're talking about today is Jesus, our high priest. I said to Bethany Brown when she left, she's the one that brought the real baby up here. I thought, boy, she's brave to bring that baby up here. But she had faith. She brought that real baby. And today, you know, as we look at this story, my grandson was a duck. And, you know, it's possible there was a duck there. I mean, at the stable when Christ was born, or at the cave, or at the tent, you know, we don't quite know, but there's so many things that were in this story. If I was really a legalist, I would have a cow. Hey, we're talking about animals. In other words, it says that the three kings kneeled in straw. Well, the three kings didn't even show up for a year and a half to 3 years after Christ was born. He wasn't in the stable anymore. But what's happened through the years and through tradition and even through deception is we've thrown all of this stuff into one big box. And we have a box that Bill Bussler made in our church for the food pantry. It's a huge thing. And I thought about bringing that up front and sticking all kinds of stuff that represent Christmas the way we celebrate it. See, I have all these fantasies that I can do in my mind that I can't do in my body. And I was going to jump in that box, and you could just see my ankles hanging out and throw out these things. See, you can see it, can't you, if you got an imagination? You're throwing out the reindeers, and you're throwing out the elves, and you're throwing out the Santa Clauses, and you're throwing out all the presents, and you get all the way down to the bottom, and I say, what do we have here? It's a cross. It's nails. It's God's love. It's God's salvation. And so it's like in Hebrews it says that the Old Testament, in fact, if you are a church-going person, you need to understand that all of the religious signs are a shadow, but not the reality. When we burn a candle, God wants His light to be in our heart. When we anoint with oil, God wants to fill us in this life with the Spirit of God. When we wash ourselves with holy water, it's the washing of the water of the Word, the washing of the blood in the life of Jesus Christ. These things must become a reality. Another crazy thing I thought in my dangerous imagination was having Isaiah get one of our big stepladders, and I was going to get up in front of the... See, I have a lot of plans when I preach a sermon. I was going to get up in front of the PowerPoint, and you know how when you were a kid you used to make alligators? And you'd make in fact, I was thinking I probably could go online and they would teach me how to make kings with my hands and all these different things. But see, all of that really is just a shadow. And so please hear me today. Even the teenagers and the children, I'm so glad you're in here today. Hear me that you can get so lost in that box that you really don't understand why Christ came. And you never really receive the true meaning of Christmas, because there's a lot of stuff in that box, especially in America and especially in our culture. But here's what it's talking about in Hebrews when it starts pointing not to the baby Jesus, but every baby, every person in this room, you're going somewhere. And I believe that in God, you are going to a great place. I shared last night with our teens at CGen about the fact that I did a Bible trivia of Who was the baby that was conceived 6 months before Jesus? John. I wouldn't let anybody from our church raise their hand on. And I said, and they didn't quite know that, but there was another baby that hung with Jesus, if you will. You know, I have friends that I hung with and I hang with, and we kind of hang. The neat thing is we do mingle together. And I'm with you, Kyle. I'm with you, Dave. I'm with you, Dale. We are serving God in this generation. And John the Baptist, who I'm talking about, was the forerunner that came before Jesus Christ. He was a cousin of Jesus. He was from the priesthood of Jesus. And actually, his anointing, his call on his life was to point the way to all the world that this is the Lamb of God that has come, the high priest that has come to take away the sins of the world. And what I shared with them and what I share with you, that Zechariah, who was John's father, prophesied over his son. He said, you, child, are going to go before the face of the great one, of the Messiah. And through you, salvation is going to be heralded to all that generation. And I talked about the fact that, you know, one of the things that Jesus has come, he's come to destroy our enemies. We're not talking about Russia. We're not talking about armies. They can be enemies, but the enemy is you missing what God created you for. Living your whole life for the pleasures of this world. Literally being able to become a billionaire, a millionaire, and gain the whole world, but then lose the reality of why God created you. That God created you for Himself. He created you to worship Him. You tasted today a little bit of heaven. Because whenever you get a glimpse in the Scriptures of heaven, almost always people are worshiping. And in this earth, I believe that our whole life, when you go to work tomorrow, the way you treat one another and how you live your life is worship towards God. If you do it as unto the Lord, or you're just kind of existing. 9 to 5, punch out, I get to go home and veg out. You're just existing. You're wasting time. Or you can discover not the shadow, but the reality of what this Christ child really means. Living in your heart, your stable of your heart. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold on to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but in all points he was tempted like we are, yet he was without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. So we look at today, we look at Jesus, our high priest, and you know, the high priest had a garment unlike any other priest. Every priest had three layers on him. He had white breeches, he had a white cape that went over him, and he also had a white sash. But the high priest had all of that, plus he had this beautiful garment that was purple, which represents royalty. And understand, this is a shadow. God showing us a shadow of this baby who sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven waiting for you and I. So God shows us this shadow. He's dressed in purple. His whole linen cloth is woven in and out with gold. I watched a little video about this, and the guy said, my cloth was made. We can't duplicate the quality that they had back then with any of our machines or even by hand. It's been a lost trade. But mine is not even woven in with gold, and it cost me $3,000. And so God is trying to say that that mantle that is on our high priest is priceless. In fact, symbol, the shadow, gold, it's God. He's covered. It's God. And this God has this plate on him. And it's got straps, and on each one of these shoulder straps is symbols for every tribe that is in Israel. Saying to you and I, you've got burdens? Your high priest literally straps your burdens on, and he carries them on his shoulder. He ever lives right now for your situation to make intercession and to help you. He carries on his chest diamonds or different gold stones that represent all the different tribes that are in Israel, all the tribes of the earth, because we are grafted into the nation of Israel. We are, if you will, we are fulfilled Jews. We are grafted into that nation that brought forth the Savior. But that picture of Jesus Christ carrying my burdens, He lives to carry them, and carrying my destiny in my life on His very heart, is God trying to tell you, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I reach for you. That's what Christmas is about. It's the beginning of the fulfillment of what God said He would do. Amen? It says, so seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed through the heavens, symbol, Old Testament, you could not come into the very presence of God, and the Bible tells us God did that to tell you and me there's a problem for you to come to God. He says it this way, the Holy Spirit signifying that the way into the very presence, the way into this throne of grace had not yet been made. And so we know, and if you are any kind of churchgoer, if you went at least for a whole year, you probably have heard and that there was a curtain between the holy, to the Holy of Holies, where the very presence of God was, and that the high priest could only go in there once a year, and he could not go in without blood. I heard one place that that curtain was 3 inches thick. I see another place in the Scripture that the Bible says that that curtain is our fleshly body. I found another place today that it says when Jesus, by His death, died on the cross, it was ripped down the center, and God pushed the curtain back. But what it symbolizes is that when Jesus died, He didn't just do an Old Testament religious ceremony. He passed through the heavens where, no, I have no idea how thick that is because it's both physical and invisible. But when He rose from the dead, He passed all the way through all of the hindrances, all the curtains, all the fabric, and tore that all aside and took His own life and His own blood and sanctified us before the very presence of Almighty God. So now, you and I, when we believe in Him, there is no barrier between you and God because of Jesus Christ. And He ever lives in God's presence, pleading for you by His death, saying, Lord, pull them. Lord, help them. Lord, give them grace. You don't think God is with you and God is among you and God is for you? God is all about you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe into Him would not die but would have eternal life. So since we have this great high priest, the Son of God, let's hold fast our confession. And I'm repeating some of my sermon from last night because it was so good. Wasn't it, kids? Yeah. Amen. Thank you. But the thing that John the Baptist, his message was, prepare the way. Make your path straight. God wants to come into your life. Prepare yourself. And in that culture, when a great king or a very important person was to come into Jerusalem or Rome, they didn't have the plow trucks, they didn't have the heavy equipment, so they would send crews out and they would walk the roads and they would remove every stone that would be a stumbling block, maybe to his carriage or to the horses, and they would remove every stump and every limb that fell down. They were preparing a way, saying to the king or to that important person, come, we want you to come. We take everything out of the way, we want you to come. And so the message of Jesus' cousin, the message of the prophet John to you and I, have you prepared a way for God to come into your life, or do you take it very casual? Are you so covered up with the materialistic and even just the shadow of Christmas that you never get to the bottom, to the most important thing that Jesus has done for you, which He died for you. That's what delivered you. His miracles were wonderful. His teachings were wonderful, but He did not design any of them to save you. It took Him to go to the cross
and he went to the cross for you. That's why Paul, who was probably one of the greatest religious minds of his time, he said, I glory in nothing, not my knowledge, what I've accomplished, what my status, I glory in one thing, because all my life I've longed to be right with God, and I glory in this one thing that made me right with God. It was the cross. Jesus dying. Does that mean anything to you? Is that a present that you're receiving? Have you prepared a way? And so I encouraged my young brothers and sisters last night, and I want to encourage you, friends and neighbors and people that probably we might not see you again. I want to ask you a question. Have you heard the message of the precursor to receive this baby? Have you taken some rocks and some stumbling blocks and some things out of your life? Have you valued that king so important that you prepared a way for him to come into your life? Great question, isn't it? I got 100 of them. Praise God. For we do not have a high priest that cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but in all points he was tempted just like we are, yet without sin. If you can imagine, I know a lot of people really love me as a pastor, and I know it's supernatural because I know my pastor was human, Dave Larkin. He's went to be with Jesus. But there's something about when you are in Christ, when you hook up, there's a special love that you have for your brothers and sisters in your own church and your elders and your pastors. But guess what? Anybody figure out I'm not perfect? Don't raise your hand. I am not even close to being perfect. I definitely understand your struggles, and I understand that there's weakness in you because there's weakness in me. But if you came to me, and you know, because we are religious, a lot of times we call our pastor, or we call one of our elders, or we call someone else that is spiritual, and we want them to intercede for us. In fact, there's some religions that worship some of the patriarchs and worship angels because they don't think that God can really identify. But this is telling you that Jesus Christ became a brother. He became flesh. He became a person. He understands everything that you go through. He knows about the loneliness. He knows about the fear and the separation. He experienced that on the cross. And so when you come to him, I want you to know he's not sitting there saying, it's about time. You crummy person. See, there is an accuser that won't shut his mouth. And he will shut his mouth someday. That's why we got excited. Satan is vanquished. He won't be there. And Jesus is king. We shout now, but it's going to be a great day when you don't drag that dead body that you're dragging around right now, a body that won't yield, when you don't take that to heaven and God gives you a new sanctified, clean body that you can serve God with no hindrances at all anymore. It's going to be a great place. But this Jesus is totally brother and totally God. And not only that, this Jesus has purchased for you everything that you need, body, soul, and spirit. And so you think he's taking it and putting it in this big sack and holding it behind his back and saying, and teasing you and saying, I'm not going to give it to you. You got to earn it. It's not that at all. That's why the next verse says, let us come boldly. Anybody ever get called to the principal's office? Never, Scott. Now, come on up here. I should pray for you, buddy. Mr. Chamberlain was my principal. And not only when I went to his office was I afraid, but if I even saw him coming down the hallway, I was afraid because there were so many things he didn't know that maybe he found out. And for a long time, and even there's still a residue when a state trooper pulls me over. How many just get a little bit nervous when they pull you over? I don't get near as nervous as when I had something in the car that I shouldn't have had in the car, or I just came from some place I wasn't supposed to be. In fact, there's days that I wish he'd pulled me over because I'm clean. Hallelujah, I'm clean. I didn't do nothing wrong, amen? Just pull me over and say, sir, I'm not speeding, I'm not loaded, I didn't steal anything. How you doing? I'm having a great day, okay? But here's what it says. Let us come boldly to this throne. This throne is not a throne of judgment. Did you hear that? This throne is not a throne where God's going to scold you. It's a throne called the throne of grace, which means unmerited, unlimited favor. He is literally sitting there wanting to judge on your behalf to help you. And not only is it a throne of unmerited grace and favor, it's called a throne of mercy. Anybody need mercy? It's also called a throne of hope. So it tells you and I, no matter where you're at, we have a great high priest, a pastor like none other that can heal you, body, soul, and spirit, has got things under control, and is absolutely for you. And the word of the Lord is saying, come now, come to that throne, sit before God, ask of Him, worship Him, serve Him, for He is the Lord your God who is with you. Amen? Amen. Passing through the veil. Could I have the worship team come up? So, could you just give me maybe 2 more minutes of your brain? Just a little attention now, because this is, believe it or not, God had you come today because He wanted to help you. He wanted to say something to you. Are you open to that? Are you open to that? Are you open to opening yourself up to God? It's not that I don't care, but I want to say to you that it doesn't matter what you're going through. It still qualifies. You know why you get healed? Because you need healing. Do you know why you get forgiven? Because you need forgiveness. You know why you get hope? It's because you're hopeless. We saw the three kings symbolize here a shadow from history, which is true. But they came and they brought everything that they had, because everything that they had meant nothing if they didn't have Him. So I want to just encourage you. You came here today not by choice, but God brought you here today. We were praying for you this morning, and the main word was God presenting a door to you. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door," and I could hear it when my brothers and sisters were praying. I felt like we were door handles. I could hear Him. He says, "Behold, I'm standing at the doorway of your life, at the doorway of your heart, and I'm knocking. If you receive me, I'll come in." And I'll tell you, that place where Christ is, where you come as a Christian, is a wonderful place. It's a place of forgiveness. It's a place of help. So we're going to stand, right? I'll stand. We do that symbolically. We stand before our King. Do I have a drummer? We're going to sing, "O Come All Ye Faithful." This morning, if you'd like to give your heart to this King, we'd love to pray for you. But where you are, you can give your heart. You can just lift your hands. I think sometimes lifting our life up before Him is kind of like the hinges on that door. And we will celebrate Him.